happy Sabbath that ended with the Spirit working at the last there of the responsive reading. And I'd like to tell you about a very skeptical man that the Spirit worked on him, and he didn't know it, but he decided, he thought in his own mind, that he would start reading the Bible every evening for 1 hour. He got himself a Bible and began reading. After several evenings, he called out to his wife and said, "If this here book is right, we're wrong." A few evenings later, he called out to his wife and he says, "If this here book is right, we are lost." And later on, he called out to his wife and said, "If this here book is right, we may be saved." And they were. I'd like to read a little bit from one of my favorite commentators before we get started here. The subject matter today is on the Laodicean church. And it begins, "Those whom Christ warns," and we have a loving God that warns us all throughout the Bible. We just got to listen. "Those whom Christ warns have some excellent qualifications, but they are neutralized by all who have a diseased self-love, self-deception, and self-justification for gross neglect to help brethren in the service of God by encouraging words and deeds. There is a dead fly in the ointment. They are being weighed by one who never makes a mistake." Isn't that good? Our God never makes a mistake in his word. "He tells the result of actions which demonstrate that the love of Christ is not an abiding principle in the soul. God calls upon you all to learn from Christ his meekness. Put away your faculty for seeing the mistakes of others. Turn your attention to your own defects. Your self-righteousness is nauseating to the Lord Jesus Christ." These words apply to the churches and to many of those in positions of trust in the work. Let's bow our heads for a little prayer here before beginning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we so much appreciate you being in our lives, and we ask for your Spirit to take over here today and to open everyone's eyes, open our hearts and minds to your word, and help me to deliver what you want me to deliver. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The historical church covers the years from, the Laodicean church covers the years from 1844 to Christ's second coming. We started with 1844 because we studied extensively Daniel 8:14. To the church of the judgment hour, a body suffering from a lack of spiritual power, Jesus presents himself as the Amen, meaning that no appeal exists above or beyond him. Jesus is the source of God's creation, and as creator offers to renew the hearts of lukewarm Laodiceans who lack spiritual power. Also, as the faithful and true witness, he does not gloss over a person's need and flatter the individual into thinking his or her condition is satisfactory when it really requires attention. For the judgment is in progress. Wait a minute, some say. Judgment is going on now? Yes, it is. In Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." We also find in 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God." So the remedy for Laodicean is not condemnation, but Jesus. Jesus cures and saves, and he guides us. In the book, in How Can I Find God, Dr. Leslie Weatherhead tells of a woman who in her dream stood before a plate glass window, pounding on it, attempting to attract the attention of Jesus on the other side. After she quit pounding and screaming, Jesus touched her on the shoulder and said quietly, "My dear, why are you making so much noise? There is nothing between us." There is nothing between us and Jesus except us. How many of us today are seeking to attract the attention of a Savior whom we believe is far off in heaven, when he is by our side, offering to supply our every need? He wants to transform our lives. Through his Holy Spirit, he seeks to be our personal companion at work, at school, our personal companion at play and around the home, and yes, in every aspect of life. He longs to give us guidance and comfort. Such a friendship with Jesus fills our lives with peace, happiness, with victory, and with assurance. I mentioned the word happiness. We have a friend that went down to Loma Linda. He is not a Christian. He went down there to seek help for his cancer. And he says, it's unbelievable. He called us on the phone. He says, it's unbelievable. These people are just happy all the time. And I just pray to the Lord that he will be glorified through them. A Sabbath school teacher lamented about the disciples going to sleep in Gethsemane when Jesus desperately needed comfort. You know this story. Then the teacher raised the pointed question, "What would you have done if you had been in their place?" He didn't obviously expect an answer, but a woman who possibly was suffering from spiritual blindness spoke up. "If I had been there, I wouldn't have slept." And she echoed the self-righteous Laodicean cry, "I am rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing." And we don't realize that spiritually we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's from Revelation 3:17. Laodicea thinks that it is spiritually rich, but it is blind to its need of Jesus, which is the all-sufficient remedy, the answer to our deepest longings. So Jesus prescribes three miracle medicines for Laodicea. This is found in Revelation 3:18. "Buy pure gold for me, gold purified by fire, for only then will you truly be rich. Those in Christ are rich in faith," James 2:5, "rich in good works," 1 Timothy 6:18, "and they are consumed by a faith working through love," Galatians 5:6. Some say, "I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to love people with a zeal set on fire by genuine faith." But how? Jesus gives us his faith to live by, Revelation 14:12, and his love to love with, Romans 5:5. Isaiah 55:1 mentions the fact that we buy without money. And just how do you go about that? Well, the word buy, you can just put yourself in there and say, I surrender my whole body and soul to Christ. And that's one way to buy. Or you can make a note in your Bible and say, death to self. That will buy your gold from him. Number two, medicine. Purchase from me white garments, clean and pure, that represent the righteousness of saints, Revelation 19:8. Not the shameful rags of our own righteousness that makes us naked and ashamed, but the robe of Christ's righteousness, that because of his atoning death, he can pass on to us. And number three, get medicine from me to heal your eyes and give you back your sight. Jesus anoints us with his spirit to empower us to make giant strides in the Christian living. The eye salve of the spirit heals our spiritual blindness, and we discern our need of Jesus. Christ gives the most valuable and appropriate gifts in the world. Riches for our poverty, white raiment for our nakedness, healing for our blindness. He is the sure cure for the Laodicean. A small boy and his father went to an art gallery at which the father, a minister, sought inspiration for his sermon. And they stood before Hunt's great painting of Jesus standing at the door, his head covered with dew, and his locks with the drops of the night. A tear came to the father's eyes. The son looked up in the emotional face of his father and said, "Oh, Daddy, did they let the man in? Did he get in?" It's the question of the ages. Jesus stands knocking at the door of our hearts, and yet, for all this, some say continually, "I cannot find him." Why not? He says, "I stand here knocking." And that door doesn't have a doorknob on Jesus' side, so we are the only ones that can open that door, the door of our hearts, to allow him in. Why do you not open the door and say, "Come in, dear Lord"? I am so glad for these simple instructions, directions as to the way to find Jesus. Open the door now if you haven't done it. We need to do this every single morning, to open that door to Jesus and let him sup with us and show us the way, guide us. And invite the Lord to come in and feel the peaceful presence of Jesus. The righteousness of Christ was at the heart of the 1888 message. You knew that. According to some, we become righteous through meritorious works. But the reformers recognized that we are declared righteous, not by works or merit, but by asking Jesus to hear our sins, clotheth with his righteousness, and he desires to give to the church all of that today. He now stands knocking at our door, the door of the church, each heart in the congregation. Your heart and mine, salvation is at hand. A free gift to us all. An old man in a caravan crossing in a dry, arid land collapsed from the heat and hardship of the journey. Finally, he could go no farther, and others left him beside the road to die. Among the travelers was a missionary who knelt down beside the poor man and whispered into his ear, "Brother, what is your hope?" The dying man raised himself a little to reply, and with great effort succeeded in saying, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Then he gave his last gasp and died. The Christian was surprised at the answer and at the calm and peaceful assurance of the dying man. At first, he could not imagine how the man had obtained any knowledge of salvation. Then he noticed in the dead man's hand, tightly held, a piece of paper. And as he pried open the fingers of the man, he found a single page of scripture containing 1 John 1. From that one page, the old man had found eternal life. In one of his parables, Jesus told of a Pharisee who went up to the temple and prayed, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And in contrast, Jesus then told of a publican who prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18, 9 through 13. Both the old man who dropped out of the caravan and the publican were kindred spirits, as both claimed the promise, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are we willing to bear our hearts to the all-seeing eye of God? Are we willing to search our lives today and ask forgiveness for sin through Jesus' blood? Yes, even to go so far as to say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Millions struggling with guilt, doubt, misery, and self-recrimination need to respond to Jesus' offer and allow him to come in. The remedy? His cleansing blood. When we reach out by faith and accept what Jesus offers, we have the assurance of sins forgiven and the hope of eternal life. Let him in now. All we have to do is reach up. Faith reaches up. Grace reaches down. And when they come together, the two meet, we have salvation. It doesn't make any difference how far you've fallen. It doesn't make a difference how many times you've tried to hide or how many times you have tried to cover up. God says, I love you. I'll restore you. I'll take you as mine. God will pick you up, turn you around, and put your feet on the solid rock of Christ to stay. He'll give you a new walk, a new talk. He'll make you responsible and committed. He'll use you to make a positive difference in your home, on your job, in the community where you live, and in the church. I know that he can do this because he did it for me. I gave him my despair. He gave me hope. I gave him my confusion. He gave me peace. I gave him my darkness. He gave me his light. I gave him my sin. He gave me salvation. I gave him my wounds. He gave me his healing. God has made a whole person out of me, and what he did for me, he can do for you.